such diverse personalities on this week's podcast, like a 17-year-old bassist who gives lessons to little kids for free, or the 13-year-old pianist who played through a neck injury to win an international Bach competition, or the brass player who will argue for the rights of euphonium players everywhere. And by the way, the music is fantastic throughout. It's Christopher O'Reilly wishing you happy listening.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. Today, we're coming to you from the Gunter Theater at the Peace Center for the Performing Arts in the beautiful city of Greenville, South Carolina. A big thank you to the Peace Center for making our very first visit to South Carolina possible. And may I say, I'm loving Greenville, situated in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, where the Peace Center for the Performing Arts is the centerpiece of a very happening downtown. Now, while it may be our first time in South Carolina, we've been aware of one of the pillars of the arts community here for some time. I'm talking about the Governor's School for the Arts and Humanities, based here in Greenville. So we're thrilled to begin this Greenville show with a terrific choir from the Governor's School, the Cantus Chamber Choir, directed by David Rhine. And so appropriate to our doing this show at the Peace Center for the Performing Arts, the 20 outstanding singers in the ensemble will perform a composition titled Peace by the Greenville area composer Mark Kilstoft.
Thank you.
the Contis Chamber Choir from the South Carolina Governor's School for the Arts and Humanities here in Greenville. They performed Peace by Mark Kilstoft. These 16 to 18-year-old singers were conducted by David Ryan. We're going to speak now with two members of the choir, Laura Lynn Brickle, 17, and Rashad Brown, 18. What a fantastic performance to start us off, kids.
Thank you so much.
A cappella and beautifully together. I mean, just such a unanimity of purpose and sound and focus. And gosh. Laura Lynn, your first performance of this particular piece was at a pretty moving event.
Yes, the first time we performed was this piece was actually at a luncheon on 9/11 for police officers. And it was so moving because we were singing this piece for the first time. And as we were singing about longing for peace and feeling this just yearning for peace, we hear behind us outside ambulances going by. We heard the sirens of the police cars and the ambulances. And it was just so moving because it made you think about all the things going on and just the yearning for peace.
What a wonderful contribution you guys made. You've both had to learn some new things in this choir. Laura Lynn, you had to learn something about doe a deer. Everybody.
Yes, before I came to the Governor's School, I did not even know what solfege was. I had never been in a formal choir before, so singing in an ensemble was crazy. And one of the first things Dr. Ryan, our director, did when I got to chorus was he said, okay, can someone come to the front of the class and lead solfege? And I was like, what is solfege? I didn't know what it was, so I had to learn that fast. And I also had to learn to sight sing. So I would just get random music and start sight singing because that's the only way you can learn is by putting into action.
Absolutely. Good for you. And Rashad, you had to give up something.
I did. And it was the craziest thing. It was a microphone because you would think that's the first thing that a singer would have when they perform on stage. But I grew up singing in my church on Sunday nights on the program, and I would always have a microphone. And I had like a real small voice, so it did all the work for me pretty much. And it didn't matter if I was sharp, flat, or flarp. They always encouraged me. They always told me I did a good job, so I thought I was doing something. But when I got to the school, they completely stripped me bare of all help, and it was just me and my voice, which I had to learn to work with and use.
Well, Laura Lynn Brickle and Rashad Brown, it's been great talking with you and just a beautiful opening to our program. Thank you so much for being with us and speaking with us and bringing this beautiful choir to our program.
Thank you.
Laura Lynn Brickle and Rashad Brown, teenage members of the Contis Chamber Choir from the South Carolina Governor's School for the Arts and Humanities here in Greenville. Our second performer also goes to a public school for the arts in her native Southern California. Her name is Allison Toe, and she's from Yorba Linda. Allison is only 13. Allison, tell everybody the name of your school.
I go to Orange County School of the Arts.
And what have you brought to play for us?
I'll be playing selections from Barber's Souvenirs called Hesitation Tango and Gallop.
Thank you. 14-year-old Allison Toe from Yorba Linda, California, playing Hesitation Tango and Gallop from Samuel Barber's Souvenirs. Allison, what a spectacular performance of those pieces. You know, they're a lot of fun for people to listen to, but you know and I know how hard they are to play.
Yeah.
Samuel Barber didn't make things too easy, but he sure made things beautiful, and so did you. My gosh.
Thank you.
Allison, tell everybody what's been your most memorable musical experience to date.
My most memorable music experience is probably when I went to the Rosalind Turek International Piano Bach Competition.
And don't be modest, you were the grand prize winner, even though you just injured your neck. Tell that story.
So my mom and my sister and I were in the car, and my mom stopped at a red light, and a truck rear-ended us. And then the ambulance and police cars and fire trucks came, and I was crying because I was in shock. And eventually I was sent to the emergency room because I got whiplash.
Yeah, very. And so must have worried you a lot. You were about to go to this competition. So what did you say to your mom when she said, gosh, maybe we should cancel?
I said I wanted to go because I prepared for it, and I felt like I should go and, you know, get my work done. And it was also in one of my favorite cities, New York.
Yeah, that's great. I'm very happy to say we're going to hear some of your competition-winning Bach playing at the end of the show. But speaking right now of competitions, tell everyone about your mom's way of motivating you to do well.
So the first time I had an international piano competition, my mom was like, okay, if you get a place in this competition, then I'll get you a dog, because I really wanted a dog. And so I placed, but then there was no dog. And then so she was like, okay, that's a practice round. And about a year later, she was like, okay, I had another piano competition. And then she was like, okay, if you place in this, I'll get you a dog. And my siblings, my brother and sister, helped me make a contract saying that if I get a place, then she has to get me a dog. Both of my parents signed it. And when I placed, there was no dog.
So what about this third time at the Turek Bach competition?
The third time, my mom said, if you win the Rosalind Turek Bach competition...
Grand prize.
Yes, yeah. Grand prize, the Evgeny Kissin grand prize, mm-hmm. I'll definitely get you a dog. Of course, she thought that I would never get the grand prize. Mm-hmm. So she made that promise with me. And then after I got the grand prize award, there was no dog.
Oh. You know what? I'm in shock. Even after winning the grand prize at the Turek competition, you still didn't get a dog?
No, I did not.
What kind of dog do you want? What's your favorite dog?
A Maltese.
Maltese. I think that's reasonable. And I mean, we decided we either had to call Child Protective Services or we had to get you a darn dog. Joanne, will you please bring the little critter out?
Here you go, Allison.
Aww.
The Maltese you've always wanted. Well, a stuffed animal version, at least.
Exciting, huh?
Thank you so much.
Oh,
I love it.
Anything we can do. Bravo, Allison. Thank you so much. Allison Toe, 13 years old from Yorba Linda, California, and her little dog, too.
Sometimes seeing is believing, and that's why we're posting pictures of Allison and all of the young performers on today's show at FromTheTop.org. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to FromTheTop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next performer is a young double bassist from Birmingham, Alabama, who, like Allison and the members of the Cantus Chamber Choir, is a student at a public arts school. the Alabama School of Fine Arts. And this guy's been racking up the accolades lately. He was selected to play in Carnegie Hall's National Youth Orchestra of the USA. He was a prize winner at the Blunt Slauson Young Artist Competition. And he's just been named one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Please welcome 17-year-old Andrew Downs. Welcome, Andrew. Introduce the piece you and I will be playing together.
Me and Chris will be playing Bottesini's Second Concerto in B minor. Thank you.
Andrew Downs, 17 years old, from Birmingham, Alabama. He played the opening movement of Bottesini's second double bass concerto. Wow, Andrew, Bottesini, of course, was famous as an opera conductor and that operatic tradition. You know, he made several, you know, fantasies for the double bass based on opera pieces. And my gosh, the drama, the virtuosity. You're a real diva on the bass, aren't you? That's wonderful,
you say,
Andrew.
Just
great. Andrew, we asked you to tell us more about yourself, accompanied by some sounds from your life.
Well, I started ASFA, the Alabama School of Fine Arts, but we call it ASFA, in ninth grade. And part of the requirements every semester is to do a student recital. And usually you get accompanied by the piano instructor, Dr. Lucy Desaw. And, you know, the first rehearsal I had with her would be a life-changing experience for me. Definitely one of the moments that I would say that made me want to do music for the rest of my life. She's very blunt. Let's start there. but she's extremely intelligent and just, you know, she just blows me away every time I speak to her. But at my first rehearsal, we were practicing the Koussevitzky Concerto. And, you know, we ran through it. You know, I had my flub ups and I was young. Afterwards, she just looked at me, you know, with her glasses, you know, on top of her nose. And she just goes, "My dear, that was awful. You have to work on that." And, you know, for a lot of people, that would definitely, you know, deter them. You know, that'd be like, "Oh, I failed." Like, you know, that would make them not want to do music anymore. But for me, it was more of, you know, just like a wake-up call. And it's like, now I need to work to produce the musical product that I want. And it definitely was an influential moment for me. Being in a choir is, you know, it's required at my school, but, you know, I would definitely have joined it if it wasn't required. I feel that being in a choir is extremely important to being any musician. I feel that all music and instruments somehow relate back to the human voice. There's this idea that we mimic the voice and everything we do with phrasing and all of that. And I just feel that, you know, the voice is, it's our built-in instrument. It's something that we use every day, so I feel that, you know, choir was something that definitely influenced me as a musician and made me what I am today. So, you know, at this point, I feel very strongly about music. It has a really, really just, you know, special place in my heart, but not just playing it, but listening to it. There's a piece that's very close to my heart, and that's Dvorak's Eighth Symphony. My dad died a few years back, and I remember when the paramedics told me that he couldn't be revived, my immediate reaction was to go down to the basement and listen to Dvorak 8, just full blast. And so every time I hear Dvorak 8, it just reminds me of my father, but not necessarily in a negative way. So music has always been there, you know, it's just something that I can always turn to. But as much as I like cranking orchestral music, I'd much rather play it. My musical dream, in its simplest form, is to play in a renowned orchestra. One of my personal favorites is the Boston Symphony. I feel that the bass section is just a really unique, you know, section of people, and just, you know, just an amazing, you know, bass sound. And to get to play with them one day would just be a dream come true. Especially, you know, one of my idols is Ed Barker. He's the principal of the BSO, and he's just like the epitome of professionalism and just wonderful technique, and he just, for lack of better words, kills it every time he plays. So if you want to know my real dream, I'd like to play in the BSO someday.
So great learning about you, Andrew. And the training in the choir, obviously, that's where you get your wonderful vocalism, your lyricism on the double bass. It transfers so beautifully in your hands. And gosh, to have a go-to piece like Dvorak Eighth, it's wonderful to have music as solace in your life. And my gosh, the dream of being a member of the BSO, I don't think is too far out of reach for you, my man. It's really, really quite something.
Thank
you. It's a wonderful dream. Ed Barker's, just so great. Great role model. So we'll hope to see you in Boston soon. But in the meantime, I know you play in a much smaller ensemble with somebody really important to you.
I play a lot of chamber music, particularly with my twin brother, Alex. He's a cellist, and he's an amazing cellist, I might add. Chamber music, and I've said it a lot of times, but I feel some of the best conversations I've ever had have been chamber music. With Alex especially, I've never met someone that could, read me, so well. He knows where I'm going to take time, and he knows that I'm really loud, so he knows he needs to play louder. Chamber music is, especially just a pretty important thing. I mean, all music is, of course, but especially with my twin, Alex, so.
Not all siblings get along that well. It's wonderful to actually have a musical connection that deep, as well as your personal connection with your brother, Alex.
Yeah.
And I certainly really loved having our conversation, musical and otherwise. Thank you, Andrew.
And
best of luck to you.
Thank you, Maestro.
Andrew Downs, 17-year-old contrabassist from Birmingham, Alabama.
Our fabulous host, Christopher O'Reilly, along with the renowned cellist Matt Heimovitz, has just released a new album featuring the complete Beethoven sonatas, all recorded on period instruments. It's called Beethoven Period. Find it at oxingalerecords.com.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Peace Center for the Performing Arts in Greenville, South Carolina. Coming up, the warm tone of an instrument we don't get to hear very often, the euphonium. Our Greenville performance is made possible with support from the Peace Center Foundation. Special thanks this week to South Carolina ETV Radio. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Joining us now is a fine 16-year-old violinist from nearby Greer, South Carolina. Please welcome Catherine Wu. Catherine, tell everybody in our audience what we'll be playing together.
We will be playing the Sarasate Introduction to Tarantella.
Pablo di Sarasate's Introduction in Tarantella, performed for us by Catherine Wu, 16 years old, from nearby Greer, South Carolina. Well, Catherine, that was just spine-tingling from beginning to end, and so masterful the way you play
Thank
it.
You.
Just beautiful. You know, Catherine, you and your dad have the most grueling schedule I can imagine, just getting you to Juilliard pre-college every weekend.
We do. On Friday afternoons after school, my family and I go to Charlotte, North Carolina to get on an overnight bus to New York. And on Saturday morning at 6 a.m., we arrive in New York, and I take all-day classes at Juilliard pre-college. And then Saturday night at 8 o'clock, we get back on the bus, and we get back to Greenville at 10 a.m. on Sunday.
Wow. And your dad goes with you for all those trips? Is he taking violin as well, or what does he do?
Oh, no. He does his work and his schoolwork.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Now, you play in the local youth orchestra, the Greenville County Youth Orchestra, and you've played a couple of concertos with them, but wait, on different instruments? What did you play with them in eighth grade?
I played the Vuitton Fifth Violin Concerto. Mm-hmm. And then last year, I played the Mendelssohn G Minor Piano Concerto.
Whoa.
And then this year, I'll be playing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto in D major.
Wow. Are you going to do the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto for an encore?
No.
Good. I was intimidated enough already. I understand, even though you're now focusing on the violin, you've come to realize there's something better about the piano. What's that?
Well, when I practice, I get sidetracked really easily. And so practicing the piano, I can sit down and I can just relax. Playing the violin, I have to practice and stand, and you know, it hurts my legs.
Oh. Well, I'm glad the piano can be sort of a relaxing thing for you.
Yeah.
But gosh, we can't wait to see you standing in front of a lot of the world's orchestras pretty soon there, Catherine.
Thank you
for being with us. Bravo. Catherine Wu, 16 years old, violinist from just down the road in Greer, South Carolina.
Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Next up is that euphonium Joanne mentioned, and an outstanding advocate, a musician to play it. This is 17-year-old Joe Broom performing Euphonium Fantasy by Bruce Frazier.
Thank you.
Bloom, 17-year-old euphonist from McLean, Virginia, who played the euphonium fantasy by Bruce Frazier. Well, that was a beautiful sound. I guess that's what they call euphonious. And gosh, we should hear more of the euphonium in the hands and the lip of our good friend here, Joe. It's just a great sound.
Thank you.
Really falling in love with the euphonium had something to do with your own vocal, your voice change, yes?
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny story. So I was taking choir in elementary school, and I was this boy soprano. People in school knew me as this boy soprano. And that maintained until sixth grade, and my voice got deeper. And and then I turned to the euphonium, and I found my voice again.
You found your voice, exactly. Now, we Americans are pretty unfamiliar with the euphonium. Is there a sense of surprise when people hear you play for the first time?
Yeah, there's a little bit of surprise because most people are like, have never even heard of the instrument. So it's a real surprise when they hear something that sounds so beautiful, looks so beautiful, and can be so powerful.
I know, and so fleet, so quick.
Yes.
I mean, imagine trying to play something like that on the tuba, you know? My gosh, I mean, it's just extraordinary what you do, Joe.
Thank you. The euphonium is
heard more in European brass bands, and in this country, it's often in military bands, and not very much in or with orchestras. That's been a pretty big issue for you in terms of your continuing your studies.
A lot of conservatories, they actually will not listen to euphonium because it's not in the formal orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, because for trombonists, it'd be a great double for the tuba. It would be this nice blended warmth.
Yes. I mean, it just gets along with everybody. But the teaching you're getting is quite superb. I understand you take lessons in this country from Lee Rogers, who's principal trombone in the Washington National Opera and a great euphonium player, and you have a famous teacher in the UK where the euphonium is much better known. Who's that, and how do you study with him?
That man's name is Stephen Mead. Every time he's in the United States, I have lessons with him. He usually lives in the United Kingdom, and just in this past semester, he's traveled to 20 countries.
Wow. So when he's in the UK and you're studying with him, how do you study with him?
Using Skype.
Nice.
That's been a really great way to connect and hear each other play.
Joe, we expect you to be the prime advocate of this beautiful instrument, and the way you play it is just a slam dunk. This is
Thank you. The
renaissance of the euphonium in the hands of Joe Broom. Thanks for being with us. Great playing with you. Joe Broom, 17-year-old euphonium player from McLean, Virginia. Earlier in the show, we met the spectacular 13-year-old pianist Allison Toe, the grand prize winner at the 3rd Rosalind Turek International Bach Competition. So it only makes sense that Allison would take us out with some Bach. Allison, would you introduce the piece you're going to play?
I'll be playing the aria Variata alla maniera italiana in A minor by Bach.
It's a very rarely performed piece and a beautiful one, a great way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our wonderful young performers and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Allison, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Venieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. And from Emily and Antoine Van Ochtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.
And now for a little bonus content, my break piece from the show. Enjoy.